Once upon a time, a long time ago, there was a man. And then there was a woman. And then there was a car. And then there was a freeway. And then there was a gas station. And she said, time to pull over because coffee running right through you, isn't it, honey? Yep. Anyway, welcome to the program. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I start the show tonight in the unorthodox manner that I done did on account of we had some mechanical difficulties here. We had what you call a technical malfeasance. We were off the air. We weren't even on the air yet, but we're
yelling on the air.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to turn a negative into a positive. Anyway, welcome to the program, world famous Phil Hendry Show. We our internet stream went down, which means that our webcast went down, which means that
you went down.
Don't get cute, man.
God, man, you let him get away with that?
Don't get cute.
Sorry.
The stream went down, which means we did not have on our webcast, we weren't live. So we had to reboot that, and we have done that. And so anyway, welcome to the program. Sorry, just updating you on the mess that we were here just a few minutes ago. Now I'm going to update you on the mess that I was last night because we did Drunk History.
Now, that was at the beautiful Biltmore Hotel. I can't imagine anything going wrong at the lovely... Excuse me for a minute. Now, I promised that I'd turn my head. What is he doing?
Yeah, what are you going to do with that way for toward me?
You belched in his direction.
I said I'd turn my head away, and that's what I did.
No, don't do it right toward me.
You don't have to do it in our direction, do you?
Oh, well, excuse me. I can assure you, on my worst day of belching... Never mind.
On your worst day of belching, Margaret, you're right. Your belches are better than anybody's, but... All right, so...
Keep talking.
You keep talking as you're going to kick my ass, or...
No, keep talking and get away from this idiotic topic. Forget about it, Phil. I told you I have the right to be holistic, to be natural, to be a natural, as Aretha Franklin sang, as Carole King wrote, a natural woman.
Well...
A natural woman. Did you know the song?
I don't know. What does she mean?
It was a song by Carole King. It's a very beautiful song.
Yes.
But I don't think there was any reference to belching, you know.
Yes, I was going to say, Margaret, that song was popular when we had just come home. My third and final tour of Vietnam, I remember that song. It was lovely. But I agree with Phil. I don't think that the concept of a woman belching ever came into my mind. I certainly was thinking of my wife.
I'm not asking you to think of a...
All right. Thank you very much for that background, Margaret, on natural woman and how it does relate to belching. But we are into the show, and more importantly, you were saying?
Oh, I was talking about the Biltmore Hotel is a beautiful hotel. Now, you said that you drank too much yesterday. I know the show is called Drunk History.
Yes, what is this? I want to know what the program's about.
Drunk History is a show on Comedy Central where they tell a historical story, a true-to-life story, and they have a narrator, which is me, and they have actors playing the scene as the narrator is describing it. So the most important or the fundamental building block, if you will, of Drunk History is the narrator's story. And from the narrator's story comes the actual actors, the dialogue, and the display of the action. Now, what makes this particularly funny is that the narrator has been drinking. And so the stories that the narrator is telling, as they pertain to the topic, are generally rather fractured. They have lots of profanity. I can assure you, at least in my case, they did. They're animate. They're animated. They should be funny, and they are. And I think in my case, they were. And of course, all of this, from my point of view, must be done and must be affected in such a way so as to, yes, I've been drinking tequila, but no, I don't want to look like a sloppy, falling down drunk.
Yeah, that's not the word we got. The word we got was that you was sloppy.
Well, the word we got was that you were pretty tight.
Did you, let me ask you this, Phil, all right?
What do you mean pretty tight?
Look this way. I'm talking to you.
Yes, sir.
Now, the question that I have is, did you throw up on camera?
No.
But you threw up, right?
When I got home, I did. I threw up, yeah.
What? You always talk about a drink of tequila.
What did he say?
You mean tequila? Wow.
But just let the general...
So You drank tequila, and then you threw up like some punk college recruit.
God. No, 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 no. It was after a full bottle. Slow, what do you mean, like some punk college recruit? Come on.
Like some two-bit punk. I expected more out of a guy that I work with is going to drink tequila and then puke like a punk. Oh, man.
General, you going to get some water?
No, I don't want to get any water. I want to get this out. I want to get it off my chest.
Well, is it really that emotional for you?
When I hear about a guy that I know, a guy that I hang out with, drinking tequila and throwing up, it's very emotional for me, yes.
Well, I'm sorry, General, but even I, old Iron Brain Henry, I can't handle that stuff on an empty stomach especially.
Oh, my God.
You don't have nothing to eat?
I didn't have anything to eat until about, oh, maybe a half an hour to 45 minutes into our session, and then I finally had a Subway sandwich, and it was fantastic tasting it going down and coming back up.
Oh, God.
Sorry, General.
God.
Yeah, that's gross.
So you had a Subway sandwich, and what?
And that was it. I had a Subway sandwich.
Well, that's not enough. Yes, obviously, that's going to go. The tequila is an irritant. It is an irritant, Phil, on your stomach.
Don't I know it, okay? You know what the interesting thing? Coming home in the car, because they sent a car for me, which, thank God.
Well, they're not going to have you drive all by yourself, are they? Sometimes they'll make you drive.
Not if you're drinking. No, they're not going. The stuff you got to go through to be on this show, I had to have a physical. I had to have a blood test. I had to sign all kinds of releases about whether I was allergic to this, that, or something else. I could not be an alcoholic. Can you imagine if they got an alcoholic? Probably. I think, Derek, you really ought to pick people that are more used to drinking maybe than me.
No, you're going to get sued.
I'm kidding. But anyway, I had to sign all kinds of stuff. And then who's going to drive you? Well, I can't drive myself. Well, then we'll hire you a car. Okay, great, thank you. And, this, that. Oh, man, they got all kinds of insurance considerations, right? Basically, when you're drinking, it's like a stunt. In other words, you're signing, you're telling them you'll do your own stunt work. It's like I did one show once where they had me doing physical action, which they had to put under the heading of a stunt, so that the insurance would be cool, you know?
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, like,
You're not driving a car off a cliff or something like that.
No, no, by the time you jump out of the car?
It was a show where I get out of a moving car, and it was very, very slight.
Well, that's the one where you got the Charlie... Oh, Jesus. No, Phil, you were 300 pounds then.
Yeah, I'm for all the world, I looked like hell. But anyway, but it probably worked for the show. Anyway, So that's a stunt. So if you're drinking... That's technically a stunt. That's technically you are doing stunt work. So there's a whole thing that you have to sort of groove to and like that, you know?
No, I don't know. Would you stop?
Phil, why are you doing it now? When you go beatnik, no one knows.
I'm sorry, General. What I mean is you're signing off on a section of the work agreement that says it's essentially a stunt so that their insurance... is cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, yes. I didn't know what you meant when you started saying you groove to it and you go beatnik on me, and that's when you go beatnik on me, I shut down.
Yes, no one understands.
All right, fine.
You mean shut down? You don't listen to him no more?
No, I don't listen to him no more. What a moron. You know, Bud, one of these days I'm going to take you down to Skid Row. Phil was talking about Skid Row. I'm going to take you down to the winos and the bums down there and have you have a conversation with them and talk the kind of talk that you talk, and you'll find more brain surgeons and rocket scientists down there than you can shake a stick at.
That's water.
General, your voice, you know.
No, it's just all it is when I get emotional.
All right, so... So that happened, and then we did the show, and it was a lot of fun. I was assured by Derek Waters, the visionary producer of Drunk History, that, quote, I crushed it, end quote, which is comedy talk for you were really funny. And I said, sure, I was drunk. Who isn't, you know? Anyway.
Well, that's the idea, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be somebody who can tell a story. The funniest part, and I think, I don't think I'm giving away anything now. I think I can say, I did not want to say anything leading up to the taping of the show about what my topic was, but I think we can do it now.
Phil, I say this with affection, but you're starting to talk like Johnny Carson, isn't he?
Yeah, you go on. I want to say, Ed.
All right, so?
Well, no, it's very endearing. You're going, now, I'd like to say, do it again.
Do what again?
Just do what you just said.
Well, I think that I will tell people now.
Right there. You're just like Johnny Carson, the way you did that.
Yes, I was doing my fly-up, but I glanced up quickly.
All right, great. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with more of this scintillating conversation. We'll tell you what the topic for... Ow! God, bud.
What?
Blow me out of my, blow me out of my blow-up chair here. So anyway, we will be back and give you the scintillating topic that we did for Drunk History. Other news, the New York City train crash. The engineer was, quote, in a daze, end quote. The union guy says that the engineer might have, quote, nodded off. What happened? We'll talk about it. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445, 855-500-PHIL. Did you know that that's spelled out Phil?
I didn't know.
I'm sorry?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did. I saw it if it spelled something out. So you didn't say it spelled out Phil. You said it spelled out like Pahula or something. No.
Well, whatever. It's 7445 spells out Phil. So if you forget how to dial a phone, and frankly, and I say this, turn that fan off, bud. God dang, man. What is the story?
It gets hot in here.
It is hot in here, but until such time as we're undergoing a huge, huge renovation that's going to cost us an arm and a leg, but it's going to be worth it. We're going to digitize our studio and do all kinds of wild and groovy things. And one of the things we're going to do is move our broadcast position out of this studio, and we're going to move it in a larger room. We're going to move it out into our green room so that when we do our video cast, it'll be like a fireplace, and we're going to have a big screen TV, and we can have dancers, and we'll have a strip pole.
And what do you mean a strip? You're going to have a woman going, oh, God, are you kidding?
I think he is kidding, Margaret, you know.
Yeah.
All right, well, I don't know. I don't know if you're kidding or you're serious.
That'd be great if you did.
We're not going to have a strip pole. For starters, who can afford a dancer every night?
Funny.
Anyway, so when we move out of here, it'll be in a much, much, you know, cooler area. The engineer in the fatal Metro North train derailment told the National Transportation Safety Board that he was in a dazed situation, an autopilot kind of thing, when he took a curve at almost three times the speed limit. Now, what does that mean? He was in a dazed situation, an autopilot kind of thing, when he took a curve at almost three times the speed limit. This is coming down to a human error thing. The comments came as federal investigators said they found no problems with the train's brakes, and a federal agency ordered the Metropolitan Transportation Authority to take steps to improve safety after what it called as simply unacceptable series of accidents. This man's name is William Rockefeller Jr. He was photographed being loaded into an ambulance. He looks like he's okay, but there are four people who no longer have their lives. William Rockefeller told an NTSB hearing that he essentially zoned out before Sunday's crash in the Bronx and realized too late that he was going too fast for the curve. This was according to his lawyer, Jeffrey Chartier. Billy has been fully cooperative. He's not held anything back. He's devastated. There are no words for how he's feeling. He was emotional today during the hearing, crying while he talked. He feels terrible for the families. The possibility that Rockefeller dozed off before the crash has not been ruled out, although he did not say he was asleep in his initial interview. After years of working a shift that started in the afternoon, Rockefeller switched to a new schedule with a 5 a.m. start just 2 weeks ago, and investigators will try to determine if a change in his body clock was a factor, according to transit sources. Chartier said Tuesday that Rockefeller slept from 8:30 p.m. to 3:30 a.m. the night before the crash and felt rested. Well, you know, I got to tell you something, and I, you know, this is just me, but, man, I don't fall asleep when I'm working. And there have been times I don't sleep. I mean, I have a bad case of insomnia, and there are some nights I don't get any sleep at all. Now, that hasn't happened since we've moved to this new time much, but it used to happen all the time. It used to happen all the time when I was with that other company, because I was on the edge of sanity when I was working with those clowns. And then I'm working those deadly hours, but I never fell asleep. And I do know people that have, and it's probably very difficult to fall asleep when you're on the air live. You can't, I don't know if there's anybody I've ever heard. I heard one guy one night when I was driving home years ago. I was in Orlando, Florida, and I was listening to one cat that was on the air late night. And this dude was either having a hard time staying awake or had taken lots of very funny pills. I don't think it was weed.
Well, what did he sound like?
He was like, this is what he was saying. In other news, it looks like the NTSB is going to investigate the crash of two like that.
Well, it sounds like he's sick.
But yes, that sounds almost as if he has a ruptured appendix or is going through some...
What do you mean?
Well, it sounds to me like a man who's in agony trying to get through his what you call the airshift, Phil?
The what?
What do you call...
Yes, General, it's called the airshift.
All right, this man, the man you just described there, sounded like a man who either had a gut shot or was...
Well, what? How? What do you mean a gut shot?
I mean the man was shot in the middle of his air shift, as you call it, and was trying desperately to get to the end of the air shift.
The guy was shot in the gut?
What are you talking about, gentlemen? How's he going to do that?
How is he going to do it? Let me tell you, there are certain people in this world that have an obligation and know their obligation to their duty. And if you're doing a radio show, if you're manning a sentry post, if you are watering flowers, I don't care what it is, you have a commitment to see that job through. Now, this young man that Phil's talking about, you're talking about a man you heard on the radio, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Someone walks in, shoots him in the belly, and he's got a newscast to do.
But, General, why would he stay on the air?
Because he has a newscast. Good.
No, General, I understand.
No, you people don't understand. There is a thing called duty.
Yes, there's a thing called duty. But don't you think at that point, excuse me for saying, but that's the wildest thing that I've ever heard.
What's the wildest thing you've ever heard? That this guy was sounding the way he did?
No, what you just said, that the reason why he sounded that way is someone came in, shot him in the belly.
Well, I don't think it's funny.
I do. That's the funniest thing that I ever did here.
Oh, so you two knuckleheads think it's funny, is that it? You think it's funny that a man takes a book? Have you ever been shot in the belly, Mr. Hendry?
No, I have not.
I can tell you this, it's very painful. Very painful indeed, my friend.
That's what I've heard.
Yes. And this man you're talking about could very well have been shot in the belly, and now he knows he has a newscast that he's got to do.
If I can assure you, General, because I've been in this business and I've seen the guys that work in this business, they're very stand-up people, men and women together, stand-up, hard-working people. But I can guarantee you this, they draw the line at getting shot in the gut. They will leave the studio and go get medical help. You know,
you're pretty sure. Would you put your life on that?
No, I wouldn't put my life on it.
Well, then I wouldn't be talking. If I just because you don't do it doesn't mean that. You know, I did know that young man, Derek Deaver, who was on in Boston. He was the guy you told me about, right?
Yeah. He got Dandy Derek Deaver. His wife came in and belted him.
There you go. This guy.
Let me tell the story, okay? This guy, Dandy Derek Deaver, was on the air in Boston, and he used to take phone calls from girls during the records, okay?
You told me about this story.
Yeah, I know the story. What is it?
Hold on. So he was hitting on these girls, and his wife knew it, and he might even have had a fling or something with one of these chicks that was calling the station. His wife came into the studio one night while he was on mic. I mean, in other words, the song had ended, and he's going to say, hey, Dandy Derek Deaver here on Hot 105, whatever the hell the station was. And she comes in while he's on the air and slaps him across the face.
Yeah, this is the guy who was saying, please, baby, don't hit me. Oh, baby, cut it out.
Yeah, he was going, no, baby, come on. Ow, baby, come on. Ow. Yeah.
That was Dandy Derek, so he's getting belted around. Did he leave? Did he say, no, I don't want to, you know, you can't, please don't hit. No, he stayed there.
Well, that's hardly...
So, in other words, yeah, he did, but what is he supposed to do? My wife is slapping me. It hurts. I think I'm going to go off the air.
Some guys might have.
All right, we're going to get back to what we were originally talking about here, since this, you know, the train accident in New York. It's a world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445. There is a host of really cool stuff that is available now online at philhendryshow.com. We're talking about free downloads, all kinds of cool ways to BSP it. You know, we've got a two-tier subscription model now. And thank you, General. We'll be right back. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. She got a hold on me. And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. As we mentioned going into the break, check our website, philhendryshow.com, all this month, along with our new gift subscription, which would be a great thing to give to, I was going to say, to the Phil Hendry fan in your family.
Yeah, well, what if there isn't a Phil Hendry fan in the family?
You give it to someone, make a Phil Hendry fan out of them.
There you go. Give it to someone and make a Phil Hendry fan out of them.
All right, I'm just wondering if you say, to the Phil Hendry fan in your family.
Well, I mean, if there's somebody listening, I'm assuming...
Yeah, that's one Phil Hendry fan.
Well, you're not going to give a gift subscription to yourself, so...
You give it to the Phil Hendry fan in your family.
And if there isn't a Phil... She's asking, what if there isn't a Phil Hendry fan in the family?
Then you... Would you get his voice fixed or something?
I don't need my voice fixed.
Come on, General, I'll give you some honey and tea.
Honey and tea?
Yeah, that generally helps. It generally helps the general. Anyway, so, yes, Margaret, to anybody, give it away on the street. Give it to someone. Give it to a homeless person. How about that? I don't have any money, but here's a gift subscription to the Phil Hendry website. And they'll say, thank you. I happen to have my laptop with me. Which they probably will. Among the things that homeless folks don't have, one of them is not a laptop.
So you think the average homeless person is just sitting out there? They could have a job. They could do a lot better than they're doing, but they're sitting there with their laptop computers.
No, I didn't say that. I just think there's some things that you clothes and a laptop you can't do without. All right, so as we were mentioning, the NTSB in New York believes that this guy had nodded off or dozed off or had done something like that. Art Griego, who has been flying, as we mentioned, he's been flying commercially for 20 years, or did fly commercially for 20 years. And Art is now retired, but he also had a charter business and flew privately for a number of years as well. We've got Art on the line from Santa Monica, California, to talk a little bit here about dealing with the NTSB and dealing with the investigators of accidents. As a pilot, Art, it can't be a very soothing thing. It's probably pretty nerve-wracking, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's very nerve-wracking. And this is the poor man, I don't want to comment. I just mentioned, I was watching television here a moment ago, and you should be aware that they're making underwear for men that looks an awful lot like a woman's panties. I just thought I should tell you that.
Why? Why do you need to tell me that?
Well, wait a minute. That's very interesting. What do you...
Well, we're talking about something else, all right?
Oh, no, I understand, but I just saw an ad for men's underwear, and it looked like... Bloomers. You know, the old 19th century bloomers?
What are those?
What? Why are we talking about this?
What is with you and the general tonight? Why are we talking about this? I just heard your voice do that.
Yeah, Phil, I heard that as well.
All right, well, I'll get that fixed. Why are we talking about underwear?
I just mentioned it because I saw it.
It might be more interesting than what you want to talk about.
Yeah, give it a shot, Mr. Henry.
No, we're not going to give it a shot. We're going to talk about this investigation of... accidents, whether there's a commercial on TV that shows men's underwear that looks like women's underwear.
Did you say they look like bloomers, though? I just heard from the outset, when Bud was giving me the tea and honey, I heard something about bloomers.
Yeah, General, that's what panties was back when he was young.
Let me tell you something, my fine feathered friend. I wasn't alive during the bloomer days. What's the television?
Hold on, I gotta tell my wife to turn it down. Hey, turn it. I'm on the Phil Hendry Show. I'm surprised she didn't turn it up because she's not a big fan of your show, but...
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, that's all right.
She's not a big fan of Phil's show?
She hates Phil's show.
I think I got your point on that.
Well, I'm not trying to rub it in, but I was just asked, you know...
She doesn't like Phil's show.
All right, we've got it already. The panties that you wanted to talk about?
I don't want to talk about panties. I just saw a commercial...
He said he saw a commercial that looked as if it was for men's underwear, but they looked like bloomers.
Yes, exactly. They were frilly and they stuck out. And I just wondered if Phil had seen this, and I don't know, have you purchased a pair of these? Or?
Yeah, that'd be great. Mr. Harry had I purchased them.
No, I have not. No, I have not purchased a pair of those. I don't even know what it is you're talking about.
All right, well, I was just curious.
Phil buys those boxer, the sort of the boxer briefs, don't you, Phil?
In a moment, Margaret, we're going to start talking about what underwear you wear. Okay, and then we can just do a whole four-hour show on that sometime, all right?
Well, no, I would rather you... What four-hour show? This show's 3 hours.
Yeah, Mr. Harry, I can't stay an extra hour on account I gotta get home, you know?
Never mind, man, I don't mean literally. So we're off the underwear topic, unless, of course, we want to bring up Margaret's.
Well, I'd rather not do that, you know.
And what does that mean?
I mean, I'm...
Are you saying that you don't want to embarrass me, right?
That's correct, yeah, I don't want to embarrass you, sure.
Well, what is, no, hold on for just a minute.
No, I don't think he's telling that. I think he doesn't want to bring up your underwear because it disgusts him.
Sir, General...
All right, are we going to have an argument about Margaret's underwear?
No, we're not, but I'm offended that he doesn't want to talk about my underwear because he's disgusted by it. Where do you get off? Art Brie, I don't even... You're an alcoholic that shouldn't even have a pilot's license.
Ma'am, I did not cast aspersions on your character or your health. You know, yes, I did say that, talking about your underwear...
You said it would disgust you, so that does comment on my health.
I would think it does, Phil. What do you think?
I don't want to talk about it. Do you understand?
Well,
I don't want to talk about it, and we're not going to talk about it. We're going to move on now, and we're going to talk about Art Griego and the NTSB and the FAA and the CIA and whatever else we want to talk about, not Margaret's underwear. Is that clear?
Well, Phil...
Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I'm fine with that, Phil.
What about you, bud?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
All right, fine.
See, he forgot what he wanted to talk about. You're so busy reading the riot act.
All right, I know exactly what I want to talk about. It's Art Griego and the accident investigations that you've been involved with, Art. Now, here is a train that was traveling at an excessive rate of speed. What are you staring at, Margaret?
I just want to see if you stumble. Oh, my God, he balled up his fist, General.
Phil, you're not going to strike a woman, are you?
No, I'm not, but I'm going to belt somebody else. Because if she did it, someone else is going to get it.
Don't make it me, man. You have to get one of them dummies. You know the dummy you have in the garage?
The dummy I had in the garage? What?
Phil, I remember the dummy that they're talking about. Now it's something you bought for your kids, and now you've got it in the garage.
That big plastic Rock'em Sock'em dummy?
Yeah, that's it. Only that thing is, it had electronics on it?
Yeah, it lit up.
Nah, that thing's busted, all right? But if you want me to drag it in here and I can beat that thing up instead of somebody else, sure, I'll do that.
When you were talking to me, Phil, your fist balled up, and it frightened me.
Let me tell you what's going on here. If you guys don't shut up, I will beat the crap out of that thing in the garage and make you stand there and watch me do it so that you will see, not what's necessarily happened to you, but what you have prompted me to do, what you have driven me to, what my anger, how it will manifest. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
All right. Now...
Hold on, Phil. Would you turn that down, honey? God. Well, don't turn it up, okay? There's an argument going on there.
All right. So, tell me all about it, Art. You were involved in what kind of an accident?
I wish it was an airplane.
Okay. And then what happened?
Well, I was flying the airplane, and I was going to land at Van Nuys, which is the airport off of the 101 freeway near the 405. So it's right near the juncture of those two freeways. So I was deciding I was going to land the plane.
Okay, and then what happened, you know?
Well, I'm just answering your questions.
Well, Phil's asking, you should give a narrative here.
Yeah, when I say what happened, continue on.
Oh, all right. Well, I was flying the airplane, and then I decided I better land.
Yeah, why? Why do you gotta land?
Because that's where I was gonna land. That's where I was supposed to land.
Okay, very good.
And so you decided to land the aircraft, and then what were you going to do after that?
Then I was gonna get the luggage out. There were two people in the back. I was gonna get the luggage out. And...
Will you tell us how the crash happened, and forget about what you planned on doing?
Well, if you ask me what I was planning on doing, I was planning on not crashing the aircraft.
All right, that much we are... probably in agreement on and understand. I know that no one plans on crashing an airplane.
No, not unless there were that Joe Suck guy.
Joe Suck? Who is that?
He's talking about Joe Stacks.
Oh, that maniac, that guy, that fool, that guy killed somebody.
No, I understand it, but he was intending on crashing the aircraft.
Yes, okay, that's that, and the guys that flew the planes on 9/11.
Yeah, well, don't forget them, because that was fully intentional.
Okay, we're not forgetting them either. But you wanted to land the plane safely.
Yes, I did. And so it was that as we landed, one of the tires blew. And I thought it was one of the tires blowing. And as it turned out, it was one of the tires blowing. But at the time, I didn't know. That's what I thought.
So one of the tires blew.
Yeah, one of the tires blew. And the plane sort of tilted in the direction of the tire that blew. I think it was the left tire. So the plane was tilting a little bit to the left. So I pulled it to the right a little bit and fishtailed the aircraft. And so the tail of the aircraft did a big fishtail. It just went around and around and around. We went around about two times and then came to a rest there at the end of the runway.
That was it, huh?
Yeah, that was it.
Well, that's lucky. I thought you got involved in something.
Well, no. I mean, then there was some gasoline that spilled out of the back and a fire broke out, but that's after we were out of the aircraft.
So a fire broke out on the aircraft after you were out?
Yeah, we got out and we were walking away, and then I looked back and my plane was on fire.
Yeah, well, how did that happen?
Because somehow fuel spilled and ignited, and the tail section caught on fire, and within probably 30 seconds, the whole aircraft was on fire.
And you were driving away, huh?
No, we were walking.
You and your passengers?
Yeah.
Well, did they come out and pick you up?
No, they rushed out some firefighting equipment and put the fire out, but we kept walking down the runway, actually off the runway, because I told them you better not walk on the runway because somebody may try and land it. That's like walking down the middle of a street, because the lady, she's going, well, let's walk down here. I said, yeah, but that's like walking down a street. And she said, why? I said, because that's a runway.
Okay, so did anybody, so they came out, they saw the plane crashed.
Well, it didn't crash.
No, but they saw that the plane was in distress.
Or was it the fire?
Yeah, I don't think they saw anything happen until they saw the fire. Then they scrambled out a fire engine, and some guys, you know, with fire hats, and one guy's on the back holding on, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just telling you, ask me.
No, I know what a fire truck looks like.
Yeah, but they have a guy on the back that's holding on.
Yeah, I understand that. And did they have a Dalmatian, too?
Oh, man. Phil, you're asking some asinine questions. Let me ask a question.
What do you mean asinine? You guys are saying, oh, yeah, and then they sent a fire truck out there with a guy hanging off the back and a fire hat. Did they have a Dalmatian dog?
Yes, they did, sitting up front.
Oh, of course. They always sit up front. Okay.
Well, what are you getting angry for?
What's wrong with you?
It sounded like you almost had a stroke, Miss Gray.
I'm sorry. What are you getting angry for?
I'm not getting angry. I'm laughing because Art's describing a fire truck. All I want to know is, did they send anybody out to rescue you, or did you didn't need rescuing?
No, we didn't need rescue. We got out of the plane. I apologized, and I said, you can have your money back if you want. I had no idea who was going to do that. And they were kind of, you know, still in shock a little bit, but I grabbed the bags, and there were only about three bags, so we each had one, and we're walking down. I said, I'm talking to the gentleman.
So this was a couple, a man and woman?
Yeah, it was a married couple, and they were just flying down from Santa Barbara. And we got to Van Nuys, and the tire blew, and it did a fishtail, and we got out, and we start walking. I'm awfully sorry, I'll give you your money back. He said, yeah, that sounds about right. And I turned around, and I heard like a glass breaking, and I turned around, and I saw my airplane on fire.
Okay, let's take a break and resume this story when we come back with Art Griego as we're talking a little bit here about accidents, whether they are accidents having to do with the train or with an aircraft, the NTSB, the FAA, how are these things handled? As you know, there was a terrible, terrible event in New York having to do with a commuter train and a commuter train that crashed as the result of the engineer nodding off. He fell asleep. Unreal, man. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445. And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show back here after our night on drunk history. Have I told you guys about it yet? I haven't. Not much, I don't think. I don't know if I filled you in.
Well, I think you filled us in just a little bit. You talked about vomiting, and that...
I know what it was. You were talking about a guy getting a gut shot or something.
Yeah, talk about that one guy got shot in the belly.
Yes, what I'm trying to impart to you, though, is to have sensitivity.
Yeah, see, I just don't buy that, you know.
What don't you buy? Don't you think the general knows?
Let me tell you guys something, okay? If you guys are taking his side just to make the show more interesting, don't do it, all right?
What do you mean?
Don't give me this stuff about how you're buying into this guy who's on the air and he can't read the news well. Maybe someone came in and shot him in the belly, but he's such a trooper that he's going to stay to the end of the news. That's the general's theory.
Well, I don't think it's a theory. I've seen that happen.
Maybe in warfare, General, you've seen that happen, and that's great, and I really appreciate men committed to duty that way. A guy doing a newscast is not going to, you know, get shot. I'm laughing because I can imagine a guy getting shot in the gut, and he's thinking, no, I better get this radio newscast out because it's really super important.
So that's how cynical you are about what you do for a living, is that it?
Yeah, yes, exactly. Thank you.
You really are?
Yes, I really am. Thank you very much. So,
Well, Phil, you don't want people... Oh, my God, Kirstie Alley. She's got a new TV show. Do you know that?
Yeah, look at that. Michael Richards is on it.
Michael, the one that's... Oh, my God.
That the guy who said the R word, right?
The R word? No, the N word.
Yeah, the N word. What about the R word?
What's the R word?
You want me to say?
I guess not. No, he didn't say the R word. He said the N word.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's the N-word is offensive to the black people.
No kidding, man. I already know that.
Well, anyway, Kirstie Alley with the show. What about it?
No, she looks wonderful. She absolutely looks wonderful. She's gorgeous. And I think it's courageous of her to put Michael Richards to work. I know that Michael Richards has felt very, from my sources, he has felt terrible about what happened on stage there at the Laugh Factory.
You called it the what? The Laugh Factory?
I should have called it the Laugh Factory.
What's the Laugh Factory?
That's a,
You mean the Laugh Factory?
Yes, Phil, I'm using the French.
Oh, well, I think you have to call it in that sense the Laugh Factory.
No, General, I'll call it what I damn well want to call it, all right?
Well?
I mean, you're talking about someone getting shot in the gut and dragging and crawling their way to the end of the newscast. That's what I do every night on this show. I don't get literally shot in the stomach, but coming in and sitting down here is like someone pulling a revolver on me and putting one right in my gut. And I don't know if you ever saw the film DOA with the great Edmund O'Brien and the great Neville Brand. Do you remember that film?
Of course I remember that film. That was that and A Kiss of Death are my two favorites.
Of the film noir genre?
Absolutely, yes.
Well, in that film, Neville Brand...
Oh, what are we talking about here? Are we doing a movie review or something?
Yeah, I don't understand about a Neville Brand.
Excuse me, I was mentioning to the general that in DOA, Neville Brand looks at Edmund O'Brien with a smile on his face, and he says, I like to give him the guys in the belly, right in the belly. And he's holding a snub-nosed 38.
Oh, yes, okay. Well, that's what I'm talking about. So if that newsman was getting his news, and a guy came in and said, I love to give it to a guy right in the belly, bang, and the newsman gets a gut shot and goes in and says, I've got this newscast, you see, that's what I mean.
Yeah, no.
Well, what do you mean, no?
Yeah. I mean, no. It'll never happen, never has happened, never will happen. That's not what I heard that night. I heard a guy... It sounded to me like the guy had taken some bad acid or he'd taken some downers or something. And, yeah, there was nobody to fill in for him. He probably called and said, I'm sick and I need somebody to come in and you know, fill in for me. But it sounded like there wasn't anybody doing it. And he had this five-minute newscast he had to do at the top of the hour. So, you know.
What was the guy's name?
I'm not going to say. So forget it.
You know who it was, though, huh?
I know what the guy's name was. I ain't going to say it. But I'm telling you, when I was listening to this guy, it sounded like he was in serious need, man. He had some bad... I don't know what it was. Like, maybe this cat... Like, if he was sick, if he had appendicitis... That could have been. He could have had, like, a really bad appendicitis.
And yet you don't... You won't entertain the possibility that someone shot him in the belly.
No, I won't entertain that. No, I won't.
Why not? I don't see how that's so far afield.
Oh, come on, will you? The guy's not going to get shot in the stomach and do... Nobody that I know in radio has that kind of commitment. Not that there wouldn't be anybody that'd want to shoot this guy in the stomach, you know.
It could be the husband of a woman he was fooling around with. You said yourself these people have low morals.
Why are you shaking your head? Phil, you have to give credence to these possibilities and eventualities that could very well have their roots in reality. Just as I was speaking about the Law Factory. And
the Law Factory. Man, you're...
Well, you can laugh if you want.
That's not called it, though.
I call it what I want to call it, all right, Dickman?
Margaret, when you call the Laugh Factory the Law Factory, it sounds like it's... The Law Factory sounds like a part of the body. It sounds like some sort of nerve in the eyes or something. Like, you know, the optical nerve or the law... like the olfactory sense. It doesn't sound like a nightclub. It sounds to me like you're talking about something having to do with medicine. So...
Well, that's your educational level, then.
My educational level? I bet you anything that the French don't even pronounce Laugh Factory that way. I bet you it's pronounced some other way, you know, like... Le Factory. How about that, huh?
Oh, get him.
That's way better, Mr. Henry.
That's me, Bennett. No, I think it's Le Factory.
No, I bet you it's the Le Factory. Tonight, Michael, you see... Phil Henry Show, see you next hour.
You know, you're a real show-off, aren't you, Le Fleury?
That don't sound like... And the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And back here we are at the El Pacifico and back with our nighttime show. Last night on Drunk History, we were taping, actually, yesterday, Drunk History, and the whole idea behind the TV show Drunk History, which you will see me on, and I don't really know how long my segment's going to be for, is to get someone who's a narrator of a historical event and feed them booze, and then they narrate their version of how this historical event or this person's life went. And it's actually, I think, a good show because it brings, as they say, it brings history to the people. And it brings history to the people in a way that a lot of people discuss things, which is in the barroom, and a general barroom discussion of things. God knows there's a lot of them, and this just happens to be one in which the topic is history. And I think I can tell you now without any problem. I wanted to keep it a secret before we actually taped the show, but my topic, and they gave me three to choose from, is Daniel Inouye, the... late senator from Hawaii.
Why'd you pick him?
Because he had a very interesting life. He was a Nisei, which is the first generation of Japanese Americans born in this country. The Issei are the ones that came from Japan, and he was born in Hawaii.
Yeah, but that wasn't a state at the time.
Doesn't matter. It was U.S. territory. If you're born in a U.S. territory, you're a United States citizen. If you're born in the United States, you're a United States citizen. There are different things, different rights that you have in territories as opposed to... You don't have as many rights. You can't vote, for instance, if you're in a territory. You have one representative who is allowed to introduce bills, but he's not allowed to vote on anything. So there's some limits, but you are a citizen. And he was born in Hawaii. And went to school, grew up with a real love and respect for America. And it was something that was taught to him by his parents. And he wanted to show his gratitude to this country. That's why he enlisted and joined up with this 442, which was an all-Japanese-American regimental combat. It was a combat regiment, I should say. And they went to Italy and distinguished themselves. They had gotten 18,000 presidential citations. Senator Inouye himself won the Congressional Medal of Honor for his actions in Italy in the closing days of the war. And so, very interesting guy. And so that was my topic. And I was talking about Daniel Inouye while doing Don Julio Añejo shots and demonstrating different things with toy soldiers. And also,
Well, wait, so you were stumbling and slurring your way through this?
Well, Phil, I commend you, because God knows a great many soldiers have told their own stories in much the same condition, blind, stinking, drunk, trying to get someone to understand. I think probably you're more articulate than the average soldier is.
Well, and the whole thing is to get people to watch a show about history. How do you do that? I think it's pretty ingenious. And the creator of the show, Derek Waters, is also the producer. And that it was, I was very proud when he asked, you know. I only can hope that you don't make me look like too much of a stumbling drunk. Because usually I can take a drink and I'm in pretty good shape. But we were pounding this Don Julio, and I had not had anything to eat. I don't know why. I got up. The car was picking me up at noon. I woke up at about 10:30, and I was doing different things. I forgot to get something to eat. I was making coffee, and I had some coffee. But by the time I got to where we were shooting this thing, and I sat down, and I was talking to everybody, and I even started drinking before we began taping. And I said, you know, I haven't had anything to eat. So they sent out for some lunch, and I had like a Subway sandwich.
Well, that's not enough. And no wonder that whatever was in your stomach, the Subway sandwich, and didn't you say you had some candies?
Yeah, yeah, a couple of chewy candies.
Yeah, I had a couple of candies.
So that's what came sailing back up your gullet when you got home?
Pretty much, yeah. So the only good thing I can say that came out of the day, other than doing drunk history, was that I probably didn't put on any weight. I probably, my calorie intake for the day was probably like 200 calories.
Well, that's very good. Yeah, that's great discipline.
Yeah, great. That's good, Miss Henry.
That's not discipline. You puked.
Well, it was disciplined nonetheless. You know, at least I did. I'll tell you what was disciplined. I didn't puke in the car coming home. Yeah. So anyway, welcome back to the program here. 855-500-7445 and online at philhenryshow.com. Joe Dickhead and the Professor, man, they knocked it out of the park this weekend. They went 12-4, man, 12-4 with their NFL picks. And we also saw a return to the Game of the Week with Bud Dickman and Steve Bozell. And that was a much anticipated and certainly much sought after and welcome return. And we have Steve Bozell on the line with us here from Corona, California. You guys did the Baltimore football game. It was Baltimore and Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, we did that on the Henry Radio on Thanksgiving Day, which I want everybody to know that was the game of the week that they can download now. If you go to philhenryshow.com, you can download it now.
Yeah, but we didn't do it the way we usually do it.
No, I understand that you guys did the game in a different approach. You did the game as if you were just watching it on television.
Yeah, that's what we did because people were saying that I had carved it up and butchered it up, and they said Bud did too. And that the way we do football games is a carve-up, and so they said, why don't you just shut up and just, you know, I mean, it was hard to hear. I heard my own wife say that, you know. She said, you know, you two, I mean, you couldn't describe a butterfly flitting, you know, like a fly, you know.
Yeah.
You couldn't what?
You couldn't describe a butterfly or a fly?
No, I mean, my wife said that Bud and I sucked so bad at what we was doing that we couldn't describe a butterfly or a fly. I don't know. You know, she just...
That you couldn't describe a butterfly or a fly. Okay, so in other words, you guys are no good at...
Right now, I'm trying to download Adobe on my computer.
Can you pay attention to what we're doing?
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, yeah. Honey, can you do that for me? I've got my daughter. She's going to do it.
Yeah, you're on the air with me right now. Can you...
What is with all of the guests here? They're always sidetracked. Someone last hour was looking at a man's underwear or something.
I saw that too, Mr. Andrew. I heard Mr. Griego talk about it. But...
Okay, that's great. You know, maybe you can buy a pair.
I'm not going to buy a pair of panties? Oh, my God.
No, I'm just joking. But, you know, if you see them around, take a picture and we can talk about it then. All right.
If I see them on a man or...
No, if you just see them in a store, God.
All right, but when am I ever going to see him on a man?
You never will see him on a man. You never will. I'm sure that you won't, because that means he'd have to have his pants off.
Exactly. So I don't know what you're alluding, you know, to.
Mr. Bozell, this is General Shaw. We're not alluding to anything. Just drop it and continue on with your telling the tale of how you, you did the football game, right?
Yes, sir. When we did the football game.
Okay, so your wife says that you guys suck. And everybody tells you suck, so you've got a new approach to it.
Yeah, we got a new approach, and we hope that people like it. But if they don't, then that's okay, you know.
We're not going to get nervous about it.
I'm not being nervous, but I just, you know.
Well, all right, so how did it go?
We had a lot of fun. I described the action on the field, and Bud was, you know, talking about it, too. I will say one thing that people will hear on a download, and I'm sorry that I mentioned it, but I got to let people, you know, I got to alert them to it, that Bud cut, he cut a bad one, you know.
Oh, God. You know, you're like children, I swear to God.
Well, what are you talking about? He passed gas?
Oh, yes, sir, and it was just as... It was as nasty and as devastating. That's the best word for it. It was devastating. It was demoralizing and devastating. When he cut that, I felt cheapened. I felt my standards had lowered, you know.
This is a fart, right?
Yes, sir. I was trying not to use the word.
Well, I think Phil's trying to clarify, because you're talking about it as if it was a moral lapse or perhaps an economic downturn or something. This was just him breaking wind.
Yes, it was. But, I mean, what I'm saying is I'm in the middle of a football game, and I'm trying to do my very best to broadcast what's on the football, and he lets one go, and I felt as if I'd been very badly betrayed. And
all right, well, I can understand that. Like, you're trying to do a good job, and...
Yeah, I felt betrayed. I felt alone. I felt so lonely.
After a man cut a fart, I'm...
All right. So, all right, but you recovered and...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, as best as I could, but I'm telling you, this was as funky as it was. There was a song by Wilson Pickett once called Funky Broadway. That was Bud's fart, you know?
Okay, I get it. We're going to be back here. Hold on for just a moment, Steve.
Yeah, sure.
He sounds very demoralized right there.
I've never heard a guy talk about another guy cutting a fart while they're working and saying he was demoralized and depressed and he felt alone and, you know.
That's why I say he's weird.
Well, you're pretty weird too, man. We're going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. More with Steve Bozell on this Tuesday. Don't forget, on our website, philhenryshow.com, all this month, we've got some specials for you BSPs and prospective BSPs, including free downloads, so go check it out. Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And also, this past Thanksgiving weekend on Friday, we were very honored to be a part of the Podcast-a-thon, which is Jimmy Pardo's, it is his podcast, extended podcast every Thanksgiving. He does this to benefit Smile Train, and it's a really terrific charity. It is a group of people who, for $250 per surgery, they can correct children that are born in disadvantaged countries and disadvantaged surroundings. They can correct the cleft palate that you see some of these poor children live with. $250 the surgery costs. That's it. And so with Smile Train and the money that Jimmy helps raise every year, they're able to perform surgery on countless kids. And so... the Podcast-a-thon was just a blast. There are all kinds of people there. I was there for a few minutes myself. We brought Ted Bell with us. We brought Margaret Gray with us. We brought Jay Santos with us. A lot of people. It was a lot of fun. So if you get a chance to go to Jimmy's website, it's podcast.com. I'm sure you'll be able to check out the Podcast-a-thon. I think it's probably there in the archives. And check out Smile Train. As I said, a group of people that are they're doing the good work, man, for kids that otherwise, you know, you go through life with a facial disfigurement like that. And it, whether you like it or not, it does sort of affect the life choices and the way people are treated. So as a child, to get that surgery and have it corrected and have the kids, grow up without having to deal with that is fantastic. I was very proud to be a part of it. We had a great fun. And found parking.
Now, that surprises me. That was at the Acme Comedy Theater there on La Brea.
Yeah.
Now, and you found parking.
I found it was pouring rain, too. I don't know what it is, but I like going into L.A. I like going into Hollywood, especially when it's raining. And I don't know why that is, you know.
Probably because there ain't that many people there.
Yeah, there's not a lot of tourists walking around, and they want to go, ooh, there's a star.
Well, hold on for a minute, because when I first came out to California, my wife Patsy and I, we went down to the Grauman's Chinese, right?
Yeah, that's where the handprints are.
I'm not talking about that. I talk about Star.
Why don't you quit with that shorthand? Is that what that's called?
Yeah, don't do the shorthand talk, bud. It drives me ape. All right?
All right, but
You're talking about the Walk of Fame, not the footprints.
Yeah.
Well, what difference does it make? We went, it's the same area, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's the same. It's Hollywood Boulevard.
All right. Who cares? We were looking either at the stars or we were looking at the footprints. I don't know which, but it was pouring rain. I'll never forget. It was coming down in buckets. It reminded me of Vietnam. It reminded me of a monsoon. And I can tell you, we were in the middle of a monsoon in Vietnam. We had to tie ourselves to the trees to keep from being blown away. It was. I'll tell you right. It was just like that, and we had a ball. And
you had a ball in Hollywood in the middle of a monsoon.
Well, what do you mean you had a ball?
Just what I got done telling you. Do you want me to say it again? I don't stutter.
Is it because of the reason what we were saying, that there was just nobody else?
Exactly. Yes. There were no creeps. Excuse me for saying. No creeps, no weirdos, nobody bothering you for money. I had a great, I took her down to the Hamburger Hamlet, and then we went over to the movie theater, and we saw, I forget, the Captain and Tennille, or some, is that a movie, or is that a bad group?
A bad singing group.
Well, that's what we saw. It must have been, they must have been live somewhere.
And why did you go see them?
Because I happen to like them. I know they stink. But Patsy and I, we love that song, Love Will Keep You Together, and that's all I know. So,
all right, so the bottom line being, yes, it's fun to go to Hollywood when it's raining because there's no creeps.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Well, I don't think that's a very good way of promoting our wonderful film community and a city that may not have film production in it any longer, but does represent, Phil, that aspect of the film community, all right?
Okay.
And you sitting there and saying, well, I like to go there because there aren't any creeps, only makes us look bad. And I don't think it's good for the people that want to visit that district of our city.
Margaret, Hollywood is jam-packed with people. There's nothing Phil Henry's going to say that's going to make it, you know.
Well, just in case.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, all kind of creeps down there. And a lot of creeps coming up from out of town, too.
Yeah, how do you know the creep ain't like when General... Shaw, I'm not saying anything, sir, but maybe you was a creep, you know?
You know something? Maybe I was, and maybe I wasn't. But, Bud, on a good day, you're still the creep when it's between you and me.
I don't know what...
Just trust me. That's good.
All right, so thank you very much for that. Anyway, yes, I did find parking, and it was wonderful. Don Berman's going to join us. We do have Steve Bozell on the line continuing to discuss with us the game of the week that was done on Thursday. Bud, you were there, and Steve, we have Don Berman, who's going to be talking with us about Krispy Kreme. Did you know about this?
Yes, and Don has a very good point, and I'm going to let him make his point. Krispy Kreme, the donut, is in the news. Don is, he's a little put out, and we'll hear from him.
Sounds like he's put out with me.
Phil, don't be a... Did I say anything about you?
Yeah. Okay, Steve. So how was the game?
Well, the football game was very good, and we did the Raiders and Cowboys. We didn't do that. I think you said Raven and Steeler. We didn't do that. We did a Raider and we did a Cowboy. And Bud, it was very bad because I'm a Cowboy fan and Bud was a Raider fan, and he let it go right then.
Yeah, well, you were all talking about the Cowboys.
Okay, that's fine. I'm talking about the Cowboys. You was talking about the Raiders. But right when I was trying to make a good point about the Cowboys, you cut it loose. And that was the point I was trying to make, Mr. Andrew, about him breaking wind and passing the gas. Okay?
Well, all right, fine. I mean, I think we're forget about that, okay?
Well, I mean, I was in the middle of making some really good points, and he just went ahead and whiffed it. And so And I heard back on the podcast because I went home and I immediately listened to it because I'm thinking, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I had my wife with me.
Hey, Steve, I want to ask you a question, okay?
Right.
You know, you're a real, you cry way too much, man. You get way too upset about stuff and you get all weepy and all teary-eyed, you know?
Well, I have to agree with Phil.
Oh, that's great.
See, right there, you can't even take a little bit of criticism, man. So, you know, you went home and you listened to the podcast. Bud cut a fart. You made a big federal case out of it. Did you make a federal case out of it on the air?
You know, when you say made a federal case out, that's what I'm saying. I must have butchered it up. Okay?
Well, look, you got all these people writing in and saying Steve and Bud are carving up the game of the week. It stinks. It's lousy. You know, we don't like it.
Yeah, so we tried a different approach, and the first day that we're trying a different approach, if you just listen to me, this guy cut one.
Yeah, but I had to do it.
Why don't you step outside of the booth or do something that may be a little bit professional as opposed to acting like a teenager, Bud?
Because I didn't...
Yeah, because he doesn't care. And so I was going, yeah, the Cowboys are looking good. Now, wafting under my nose is what it is, and I'm the Cowboys, and I reacted.
What did you do?
I went, God, you know, I just went, oh, my God, oh, my God. Oh, my God, oh, my God. You know, why has thou forsaken me?
And you didn't say that.
I think I did, yeah. I immediately the Bible came to mind. And I just...
The Bible came to mind when you smelled Bud.
Okay, you know...
Look at Steve. You're going to have to just live with these little bits of these little moments of lampooning and people being critical and people laughing at you because it's pretty weird. So you are on the air and you're talking about the game and you're talking about the Cowboys and you smell Bud let one go and now you are praying on the air. Is that what you were upset with?
The people are listening on the podcast.
Yes, they were listening live, too.
Yes, sir, they were listening live.
Did you get any mail or did you get any email or any feedback?
I got, you know, a couple people said, you know, man, you really hit some all-time... And I knew they was being sarcastic. You hit an all-time high with that one, man, when you're, like, quoting Jesus as he's hanging off the cross because a guy cut up fine.
Well, I got to tell you something, man. It's pretty... You know, there's the image of Jesus on the cross, which is sacred to all Christians. And you bring up that because you're having to endure some guy's fart. That just does not...
Steve, it's not the same thing. And I think it sounds like you're trivializing it.
All right, thank you very much.
See, he hangs up. This guy...
Well, I think you got to cut this guy loose because he's a real baby and a half, I'll tell you that.
All right, thank you, Bud Dickman. We've got coming up, not Bud Dickman, thank you, Steve Bozell. Thank you, Bud Dickman.
Thank you.
We have coming up on the Phil Hendry Show, Don Berman will be talking with us here about Krispy Kreme and whatever that story is. I think I know. Don is, he's exorcised, he's put out. That's what that means. It doesn't mean the other thing, Eminem. World famous Phil Hendry Show, be right back. Back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And I want to remind you that this month on philhendryshow.com, we're going to be offering you a free shot. Let's see, what do we got here, Bud?
Yeah, pretty good. It's pretty good.
Great, that's nice to know. What we're going to do is two free shot glasses for all orders over $75, okay? So if you go into our store, our online store, and you place an order for $75 or more, you'll get two free shot glasses, courtesy of the Phil Hendry Show. Also, a free digital CD download for all of our new and existing Backstage Pass members, okay? So if you are a new or an existing Backstage Pass member, and you buy $75 or more in the shop, you get two free shot glasses plus a free digital CD
Well said.
Thank you. A free digital CD.
Now, what does that mean, a free digital CD?
You get a digital download of any one of the CDs that we offer, okay? So that means, you know, you don't get the hard copy, but you will get the digital copy. The hard copies are going fast and furious. At some point, they're going to be gone. And when they're gone, they're gone. I mean, these are the legacy CDs, the original best of CDs we did between the years 1990, I think it was 97 and 2005. They are all the original artwork. They're still in the packaging. They're as pristine as a newborn baby. And
clean as a baby's ass, too.
Would you have him?
Bud, come on, man.
Sorry.
So,
clean as a baby's, man, you got no manners, man, saying clean as a baby's ass.
Well, you don't need to repeat it.
Yeah, you don't, so thank you.
What, did he, oh, never mind.
Yeah, just, so, go to philhendryshow.com and get yourself the free, get yourself a couple of shot glasses, any order $75 or more. If you're a BSP member, new or an existing BSP member, you get a free digital CD download, as well as the two free shot glasses, all this month as part of our Merry Christmas to you from Boss Radio, man. Why can't we call ourselves Boss Radio?
Well, that was the old theme of KHJ and some of the other radio stations around the country.
Yeah, I know, but that was like 50 years ago. 50 years ago. Do you think anybody remembers? I'm going to start calling myself.
You can say this is Phil Henry, Boss Radio.
Yeah, only don't stutter it like that, and you'll sound like some kind of a Bugs Bunny with a spastic. Jesus. You're going to sound like an autistic Bugs Bunny going like that.
No, we won't do that, General. Don't worry. Wow. All right. So Don Berman joining us here on the world famous Phil Henry Show as we discuss whatever. Don, I am told that you have an issue.
Yes, I do, Phil. And I have this issue with you and your recommendation of the Krispy Kreme stock, which apparently is going through the floor. Thank you very much. Your comment.
Well, I don't think Phil knows what you mean, Don.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You have not read the news.
No, sir, I have not.
All right, well, let me, because I'm in the news business, I guess I see these things. You were the one that recommended Krispy Kreme donut stock, weren't you?
I never recommended buying Krispy Kreme donut stock.
Oh, come on! You know full well you did.
Wait, hold on, Don. You're not going to come on my show and start yelling at me. You understand?
I apologize, Phil, but do you remember? You're telling me you don't remember.
I didn't say buy Krispy Kreme stock.
Well, were you high on Krispy Kreme? No, when I say high on Krispy Kreme, Bud, I don't mean that he was smoking Krispy Kreme. I mean, were you high on Krispy Kreme as in you felt it was a good buy?
I never said anything about Krispy Kreme stock. I said the donuts were good.
That's the same thing.
Why don't you shut up, Bud? What are you talking about? You don't even know what you're talking about. No, it ain't the same thing.
Well, if you're saying that the donuts are good, a man can infer from that, though, can't he?
No, he can't. No, he cannot.
So you just heard the general say it, and you heard Bob Dickman say it. And I'm saying this as a friend, Phil. When you're raving on, and this was back, and forgive me for saying this, but it is back when you had a lot of extra weight. All right?
Sure, absolutely.
You were 300 pounds. You don't deny that.
I don't deny that at all.
And you're telling me that I'm not going to look at you at 300 pounds when you tell me that Krispy Kreme is the best donut you've ever had and I'm not going to go out and buy stock? You know, one of the things...
No, I don't think that that's a recommendation because I'm fat and I eat the donut. Wow, that's insulting.
Well, Phil, you can understand, I think, how some might think that way.
Yeah, Mr. Evans, but he's saying just because he's fat doesn't mean he's saying go out and buy the stock.
No, you don't understand, Robert. When this man is weighing 300 pounds, when he's tipping the scale at 300, and he's telling me, by the way, Krispy Kreme is one holy hell of a donut, why wouldn't I want to buy stock in that company?
That's your decision. I didn't say go buy stock in Krispy Kreme.
You were fat, which is the same thing.
No, it's not the same. If you're trying to be funny, man, you're not funny. Okay?
I'm not trying to be funny. You really assume a lot, don't you?
No, you're the guy that's assuming a lot. You're the guy that's saying, tell me what the story is. I don't even know what you're talking about.
All right, here it is. After Monday's close, Krispy Kreme Donuts reported fiscal third quarter earnings of $6.8 million or 9 cents a share, up from 7 cents a share in the year ago period. Excluding one-time items, adjusted per share earnings rose to 16 cents from 12 cents. Revenue climbed 6.7% to $114.2 million. Analysts were looking for earnings per share of 15 cents or $115 million. I'm losing my ass!
They reported $115 million and they wanted $115 million and they only made it to $114.2
million? Only? Look, we were spooked by the company's full year of guidance for fiscal 2015, which calls for an EPS between 71 and 76 cents. Wall Street was expecting 79 cents a share. That's 3 cents down.
You know, this is why Wall Street is a jackass bet. I'm telling you, this is why American business is in trouble. This is why American business, you know...
Well, Phil, don't give me the speech, will you? I'm the guy that bought stock.
Look, you're speaking a language that the average human being is sitting there and is saying, what kind of an ass is this? And what kind of a business world are we living in when because a bunch of morons say, here's what they should be earning, and they don't make that number. They make $6 million less. They didn't even make $6 million less. They made $800,000 less than what they predicted, and that's a disaster?
It's a meltdown, I'm telling you. It's. I'm looking at the headline, Krispy Kreme stock may melt further. Now, if you don't understand business, that's one thing, but don't sit there and try to tell individuals on Wall Street this is what they do for a living.
What do they do for a living? What do they do on Wall Street for a living other than make predictions and then say that a company is losing its ass because they didn't make a number that they thought they should make? You're looking at a company that year to year is going up. Year to year, it's going up. Now, maybe they're trending out, and maybe they're not, and maybe they're spiking, maybe they're not. But all of these people that say, well, here's what it should be, and it didn't make that number, so here's where it is, and so therefore the company's a failure. These people have not improved business at all in this country. They haven't improved, in my opinion, they haven't improved the bottom line, which is, are we making a good product? Do we have customer loyalty? Are we bringing people back? You know, are we turning a profit, for God's sake? You know, I think it's a disastrous, and I think ultimately it's a nonsensical way to conduct things.
All right, are you done? Because, you know, I wanted to make a point.
Yeah, I'm done.
All right, the real world, Phil, doesn't work that way.
See, Phil, I agree with Don. You know, the real world out there, it's not a lot of hippy-dippy, you know?
What do you mean hippy-dippy?
It's not your little, are they making a profit? Are they? This is about the bottom line on when, I don't know. I agree with Phil. I think it should be the way Phil's saying it. But the way that it is, I don't understand it.
All right, well, now, you don't understand it, Margaret, but you sort of agree with me, but you sort of agree with Phil. You don't understand it, Phil, but you only agree with yourself. Bud, how about you?
I didn't say anything wrong.
All right. What I'm trying to—that's about—and what about you, General?
Well, I'm Don. Please understand, I don't answer anyone's question when it's put to me quite that way.
I apologize, sir. Do you feel that what Phil is saying about American business is true?
Yes, I agree with Phil. I think the way that American business is conducted today is an absolute disgrace, and I would put every last CEO in America up against a wall in front of a firing squad. There, does that answer your question? Finally.
And I noticed your voice cracking.
My voice is cracking when I get emotional.
Well.
All right, so what did it say?
It said, I just told you. Investors are spooked by the company's full-year guidance for fiscal 2015, which calls for EPS 71 to 76 cents. Wall Street was expecting 79 cents a share. So the stock Tuesday tumbled 15.8% to $20.67 in morning training on the report.
Boy, see, that's just asinine. A company doesn't make a number, they miss it by $800,000. It's 114.2, and they were expecting 115. They wanted 79 cents a share, and they're getting a 71 to 76 cents a share. That's their fiscal guidance 2 years from now, or at least a full year. And because of that, the stock falls almost 16%. What is wrong with P? And you know something? If I've heard it once, I've heard it a million times. It is an emotional business. It really has little to do with sense or with good business sense. It has more to do with just the emotion of the moment, what the other guy is doing, a bunch of monkey see, monkey do. You talk about sheep. You want sheep? There are no greater sheep. There are the greatest sheep of all, man, work on Wall Street. They talk about sheeple. I love to see that phrase. They're talking about, well, you know, if you like Obama, you're sheeple. If you like the Republicans, you're sheeple. If you're a Tea Party, you're sheeple. If you're this and that. Let me tell you where the real sheeple live. They live on Wall Street. And if you think that they conduct business there based upon a sober analysis of how business, they may at some point analyze the business and come up with a very sober estimate. And perhaps they've come up with a very sound and solid appraisal of how things are. But the minute they go on the floor and begin to trade shares, all of that goes out the window when some guy changes his mind at the last second. Well, I don't want to buy it. I think I just got to sell. I just have a feeling all that stuff goes out the window. It's like that time I was telling you guys I saw Chuck Berry.
Oh, was that the Chuck Berry with Keith Richards?
Yeah, Chuck Berry was auditioning a band for a tour. One of the guitar players was Keith Richards. They must have gone over this one note a million times. It got to be, I was irritated for the other band members because Chuck Berry's, come on, you're getting it wrong. You're getting it wrong. Well, then when they finally get out on stage, all that rehearsal they threw right out the window. and just played it probably. And Keith Richards said later on, he says, you know, Chuck Berry's one of my idols. He said, but this guy's rehearsal, the way this guy rehearses is just lousy. He said, we work our asses off, and then he throws it all out the window and just does whatever the hell it was that he feels like. Man, Wall Street's the same thing.
Well, and Phil, you know, that's a nice little speech. Again, you're taking about 10 minutes for every 2 seconds that I get. And I'd like to be heard, all right?
Go ahead. I'm not stopping you.
Well, you're taking up a lot of time. And the point that I want to make is this. I got hosed, you know.
All right, hold on. I got to take a break.
Oh, sure. Of course you got to take a break.
Well, all right. I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
Well, now it's too much pressure. I got to think of what it was that I wanted to say.
Well, you were saying that you didn't have enough time to talk.
No, I don't.
Go ahead.
Forget it.
Well, are you going to stay on the line?
Yes, I'll stay on the line. But when I come back, I would like to be heard because I'm going to think up something to say.
Very good, Don. I concur. I commend you for that.
Thank you very much, General. I know you're being sarcastic.
No, I am not being sarcastic. I commend you.
Well.
Okay, hold on, Don. Don Berman with us from Channel 19 News on how I steered him wrong because I said Krispy Kreme was a good donut, and because I weighed 300 pounds when I said it, Don automatically thought that meant go out and buy Krispy Kreme. Well, guess what? He went out and he bought Krispy Kreme, and he thinks the stock price is tanking. I haven't... This... The way they analyze business in this country is insane. It's insane. World famous Phil Henry Show. Will be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. What?
Well, you're busy making everybody laugh and you missed the cue.
I'm sorry.
You're making Nikki laugh back there and you're missing the cue on the music and it sounds like...
It sounds pretty doo-doo-like. You know.
Well, sounds pretty doo-doo-like, huh? Well, that's very professional.
I didn't say that. He did.
All right. Anyway, welcome to the program. Welcome back to the program. Don Berman from Channel 19 News is on the line. If I got to reach down, Bud, and I'm telling you right now...
I'm sorry.
If I got to reach down and turn this fan off one more time, I told you I was going to throw it in the street. But then you're going to follow it, okay?
Sorry.
Well, why don't you just turn it off, Bud?
Because I forgot about it.
Yeah, man, you forget about it all the time. It's almost like you're like that guy. Good thing you weren't driving that train, man.
Well, that's a little harsh.
Yeah, let's not...
No, I'm serious.
If I was driving that train, are you kidding me? I would never... Are you nuts? I never fall asleep on a train.
All right, okay. That's a harsh thing to say, Robert.
Well, I'm telling you, man, this guy... How many times you got to remind him?
Dude, why don't you do it?
I will.
Fine. Whoever wants to take charge of turning the fan off... Turn the fan off, please, if you were driving that train.
You would, man. If you're driving that train, man, he'd have fallen asleep as soon as I left the station.
Yeah, if everything is on a computer, why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? Everything's on a computer?
That's a very good point. You know, everything is autopilot now.
Yeah, but they've been flying. Let me explain something. What that guy did is the same thing as a pilot who flies an aircraft, falling asleep and forgetting to land the aircraft properly, you know, thinking it's maybe still on autopilot when he took it off of autopilot.
What?
How's that possible?
What do you mean, how's it possible? What I'm saying is if a pilot can stay awake long enough to land an airplane safely.
Well, how do you know he does that?
Because I haven't heard of any aircraft crashing as the result of a guy falling asleep at the switch. Man, I've heard about aircraft crashing. I've heard about all kinds of pilot error. I've heard about all kinds of structural failure. I've heard about all kinds of weather happening. I've never heard of a plane crashing, not recently, because the pilot was asleep as it landed.
Well, but Phil, there's more than one pilot.
Yeah, see, she got you. She got you.
Man, this isn't a contest, you know.
Well, it is a good point. He has the co-pilot.
Okay, what if they both fell asleep? You know, what was that plane?
Yeah, that one time it did.
There was a plane? Yeah, thank you. There was a plane that overshot Minneapolis because both of those jackasses had fallen asleep. Remember that?
Oh, that's right. That was...
Yeah, that was the one airline that they're always falling asleep on.
Northwest.
Oh, that's... Yeah, they... When did they wake up?
These guys fell asleep... And they woke up, like, over Wisconsin or something. And they said, holy God, can you imagine that? I mean, how embarrassing. But there's more to it than meets the eye. These pilots, a lot of them are not getting paid anything. I don't know who's flying these aircraft. I mean, I know there's a union, okay, and I recognize that that you have to be union certified, which I think is good. But the prestige, the pay, the actual job of being an airline pilot, it ain't like it used to be where the guys are walking through the airport, you know, and wearing the uniform and looking...
Well, it's like that movie Catch Me If You Can when that young man...
Yeah, he wanted to be a pilot?
Yes, he wanted to be a pilot, and he pretended he was a pilot, and he had all those girls.
Did he actually fly an airplane, that guy?
What guy are you talking about?
There was a movie called Catch Me If You Can with Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks. It's based on a true story of this guy that was an imposter, and he just made up, you know, he played it doing a lot of different things. One of them was being an airline pilot. He was being chased by the FBI. This one FBI agent was chasing him, played by Tom Hanks, who actually was a composite character. He represented more than one guy.
What, the guy that was the pilot?
No, the FBI guy, played by Tom Hanks, was a composite character representing more than just one guy.
What? What are you talking about?
Are you guys, are you kidding or something?
The character that Tom Hanks played, in real life, there wasn't just one character, there was more than one.
Well, yeah, I figured that.
You figured that, huh?
No, like the whole FBI.
Well, it wasn't the whole FBI. The people that were on this guy's case, there was more than one FBI agent, and so the character of Tom Hanks represented those guys. Do you understand?
Sorta.
You know, you guys really are getting on my nerves tonight, man.
Well, I don't understand the way you say stuff.
Let's get back to Don Berman, shall we, and talk about Krispy Kreme. Don, are you there?
Well, you know something, Phil? I have to agree with the young man there that there are times when you do not explain yourself in the most accurate of terms. You said that Tom Hanks was many different people, and for a moment I thought you were inferring his mental health or something.
No, I was talking about the movie Catch Me If You Can.
Well, I finally figured that out, and then you said that he represented a great many people. I thought you were talking about investors in the film. I had no idea.
Well, I knew what Phil was talking about. He was talking about the FBI and what else?
Never mind, okay?
Well, now, Phil, don't get like that.
Come on, Phil, you be a man about it.
Be a man. I tell you what, I've only got a minute left, Don. Is there anything else you want to say about Krispy Kreme?
Okay, honey. I mean...
No. I gotta go. You got a minute. So what do you want to say?
Well, I'll say this, that I think you did me a disservice by putting that weight on and then saying, hey, Krispy Kreme is fantastic. Obviously, I'm going to look at how fat you are and hear your endorsement of Krispy Kreme, and I'll realize this guy eats an awful lot of that. I think I'm going to say thumbs up on that, buy. And I called my broker and I said, buy all the Krispy Kreme you can.
Because I was fat and I said it was a good donut.
Yes.
All right. Don Berman, ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a look at the Krispy Kreme stock price. We'll see whether or not Don has been given a bum steer. We'll see whether or not there are holes in, you know, in his purchase. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Henry Show will be back in just a few minutes. And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And we welcome you to become a Backstage Pass member. That is to join our family of BSPs. Just go to our website and get a subscription. And, of course, while you're there with every new subscription, if you're a BSP member, you get a free CD download. New and returning BSP members get a free CD download with a purchase in our store of $75 or more. You also get two free shot glasses. So it's kind of a way of getting loaded up, if you'll pardon the expression, for Christmas time.
And you don't mean alcohol.
No, we don't mean alcohol.
Because there's been an awful lot of talk about it.
Well, there has been a lot of talk of the...
Yeah, I know, and because we did Drunk History yesterday. Okay, so Drunk History is done, and we're looking forward to seeing it. And when we do get the time that it is going to be airing, we'll announce it. But we need not talk anymore about how irresponsible I am as a drinker.
It's just the fact that you didn't throw up in the town car. Because I can tell you, Phil, I've seen that happen. Now, I've been in enough limousines, and if you're thinking that Frank and I rent limousines from Joe's Limousine Service, no, we don't. For the longest time, we had our own driver in our own car. And occasionally we do use a family friend. So we're not doing what you do. Nonetheless, I have vomited in a limousine. It's easy to do. It has happened. Fortunately, when I vomit in a limousine, what are you looking at, Bud?
Why are you talking about, every time you talk about vomit in a limousine, how you want to belch?
You know, you don't make any sense at all.
Well, I think, Bud, are you going to talk more now about belching and...
Am I talking about belching? I'm talking about something that Phil did.
I didn't vomit in a limousine.
Well, I have. So would you listen to the voice of experience?
The voice of experience? I didn't do it. Okay?
I know you didn't do it. I'm saying I have. And you need to understand, the good news that I'm trying to say, if you people will shut your mouths long enough...
Yeah, but you're not making any sense to talk about throwing up.
If Margaret, I understand you're trying to get... If you vomited in a limousine, good for you. Congratulations.
I'm not saying it because I'm proud of it. Are you listening?
Well, I don't think anyone really understands. What I'm trying to say is, Phil didn't, and Phil say he didn't vomit in a limousine.
I know that for the 800th time.
All right, just let her say what she wants to say.
Oh, I see. Let the crazy woman say it.
He's not saying that, just say it.
All right, here's what I'm saying. First of all, Frank and I don't rent limousines or town cars or whatever. Who was this with?
Well, you know, this is, I'm sorry, we do. Music Express. They're one of the best in town, and they're great drivers, and I had a great time driving with these guys. Very responsible, terrific company. I highly recommend them, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, so Music Express just got a free promo. That's real great, Phil.
No, it's not free promo. I didn't get paid for that. I'm just saying it's a good company.
All right, well, Frank and I don't go with rental companies. We have our own car and our own driver on call when we need it. However, it's still bad form to vomit up in a limousine, and I've done it many, many times. And what you do is, if there are any cups or glasses, and there generally are in the better limousines, you can throw up into a glass. Well...
Yeah?
I don't... You know, Frank, if your husband's with you, he'll hold the glass under your mouth and...
Oh, God.
Oh, grow up, Phil, will you?
Dude, what are you telling us for?
And then what do you do?
Then what do I do what?
What do you do once you've thrown up into the glass? What is Frank, what did he do with it?
He threw it out the window, all right.
Oh, that's great. So the guy behind you, I hope you got windshield wiper fluid, folks.
Will you listen to what a child you are? I hope you got windshield wiper fluid. You know, you're yelling it out there like you're some high schooler with your head stuck up through the roof of a limousine. You know those kids are in high school with limousines, right?
Yeah.
That's you, Phil. And I can only hope that you don't come up on a low-hanging bridge. And yet, in a way, I hope you do. That's the weird dichotomy of it.
Oh, I see, Margaret. So you're saying that you hope, with my head stuck up through the roof of a limousine, you hope I hit a low-hanging bridge.
Figuratively speaking, hello. I don't mean it literally.
Well, you don't mean it literally, but that's what you're saying. You want him to be decapitated.
In a figurative way. I want his smart-ass nature decapitated, not him.
Well...
What does he mean? What does that mean?
It means just what it sounds like. Meaning you don't make any sense. I mean, on a good day, you aren't making any sense. Tonight, you're not making any sense at all. You hope my smart-ass nature gets decapitated.
That's great.
Go ahead and laugh it up, Phil. Have you ever seen someone decapitated?
Oh, now we're back to someone actually being decapitated. Is that it?
No, I'm talking about, have you ever seen anyone figuratively decapitated? Not really. In a figurative sense.
What's that mean?
No, Margaret, I've never seen someone's sense of humor get decapitated, no.
What do you... I have, Margaret, I can tell you.
Well, I know you have, General, because you've been to war.
No, I mean, I've seen someone's sense of humor. I've seen an individual's... arrogant nature get figuratively decapitated by the low-hanging bridge of another person's wit and sarcasm.
Will you guys just speak English instead of by the low-hanging bridge and all this stuff? I don't understand a word anybody's talking about now. You can get a little too fancy with the language.
Oh, well, excuse me, Phil, for trying to add some color to the conversation.
Well, Phil, that's all we're talking about, is the low-hanging bridge was this guy's sarcasm, and he cut the head, you know.
Yeah, off of some guy's arrogance. That's great. You know, you could just say this guy was sarcastic with this dude that was arrogant. And
with a guy that was arrogant?
Arrogant.
Arrogance is state.
No.
No, that's Oregon.
Wow.
Well, you guys, man, I mean it. I've said before, and I'll say it again. You know, I'm going to get health insurance for everybody here, and the first thing I'm going to have everyone do is go in for a CAT scan. Thank you. All right. Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. And thank you very much, Toby Keith and Merle Haggard. I like that music.
You got to be a country music fan.
No, I'm not a country music fan. I'm a country music fan to the extent that there are country songs I like. Do I go out and buy country music albums as much as, say, I buy? Or do I go out and buy country music, period, as much as I may buy rock and roll or metal or something like that? No, the answer is.
No, the answer is.
Yes. Or the answer is no, if you care to put it that way. Not because I don't like country music. I like it. Like it a lot. But it's just, for me, it's every now and again. Country music is a safety valve for me. It's my safety valve when I want to get away from the crap. When I just want to get away from the garbage of popular music, and no matter what the genre, when I want to get away from the very obvious and overstated nature of hip-hop, when I want to get away from the moody and gothic self-implosive implosiveness of rock and metal, when I want to get away from the intoxicated and hallucinogenic nature of adult contemporary singers and musicians, when I just want a little bit of reality, I go for the country. Okay, I reach for all the gusto and I grab myself a bottle of country, wide open country, you know.
Have you seen that Dr. Pepper commercial where the guy goes, it's a man's world, and he's drinking...
That's weird.
It's a satire.
It's a satire in what?
It's a satire in the 1970s beer commercial. You didn't see that?
Oh, yeah. Now I get it. I wondered where I'd seen those images before.
Exactly. That Dr. Pepper commercial is a parody of all of those... beer commercials that came out in the 70s of the wide-open nature of Coors and all that jazz. That's what they're messing with there. It's pretty funny. All right, we're going to be back here. I don't know if anybody's interested in this. I sort of am because it's kind of interesting. There's apparently a revolution afoot or maybe a revolution afoot in the Ukraine. What's it all about? Why is everybody pissed off? Why does everybody want some changes made? And now we'll find out. We come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com and like that. We'll be right back.
I hate you for the sacrifice.
Just that guy with you're saying.
Hold on.
This old highway seems so lonesome when you're going. Where you been?
World famous Phil Henry Show, and
now who is this? Is this that Johnny Rodriguez?
No, this is not Johnny Rodriguez. This is the Mavens.
Well, why don't you have Johnny Rodriguez?
I can't find it. I can't find it anywhere.
You know, man.
It's a song called "Riding My Thumb to Mexico," which I always liked, and I like the Johnny Rodriguez version, but I can't find it. So this is the Mavens.
Well, I caution you, Phil, to back off of the country music because you're going to alienate a great many of your, I would say, minority listeners.
No, they're not an alienated minority. A lot of black people like country music.
Black people like country? Where do you get off saying that?
Because I'm black.
You like country music, Robert. I mean, there have been black country music performers. I guess when I say the only one that I can think of is Charlie Pride.
Well, that's the only one anyone can think of. Are there any others?
There've got to be.
And what are you speaking of now?
Black African-American country music performers. There was Charlie Pride, which was the one black guy that country music had for years. But I don't know of any others.
Charlie Pride, by the way, did a song that I love. You've got to kiss an angel good morning and love her like a fiend when you get... Well, not love her like a fiend.
Love her like the devil.
Love her like the devil? I don't understand that.
You got to kiss an angel good morning and love her like the devil when you get home at night.
What does that mean?
Oh, come on, will you, Margaret?
There, you get it? Angel and devil.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you're right. Yes. Well, why did the song that I heard, then I must have heard a different one, because it's, you've got to kiss an angel good morning. You know, I really should do that. I write that down. Where was it? Frank, if you're listening, write that down for the set this weekend. Kiss an angel good morning.
Yeah, and love on it like the devil.
Not love on it like the devil. What an animal.
Love her like the devil when you get home at night. It's one of those, it's the way country music, they always turn a lyric beautifully like that. So,
right, so you've got to kiss an angel good morning. And, you know, I think it needs something, and I don't know what it is. You've got to kiss an angel good morning and climb it like the devil, no?
Climb it like the devil. Boy, that's really classing it up, Margaret.
Margaret, don't you want to sing something that's ladylike?
I beg your pardon?
Well, you're talking about climbing on it.
I'm talking about, it's a very country thing. Do you want it to be a country song or don't you?
Here's a great idea.
Do you want it to be a country song or don't you?
I do. Here's a great idea. How about keeping the lyrics as they originally are intended?
Yeah, I vote for that.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Because it's an old song, and it needs a little updating. That's all I'm saying. Kiss an angel good... Excuse me for a minute. I'm sorry, Phil, but I... Oh, God.
What's wrong?
Well, I tasted something. It must have been what you tasted last night just before you pitched.
That's what a great conversation we're having, folks, huh? Welcome to the Phil Henry Show.
No. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Margaret. We're talking about the song Kiss an Angel Good Morning and Love Her Like the Devil When You Get Home at Night. That's fine, but I'm looking for something that's, I don't know.
That's great. Our number, 855-500.
What are you blowing it off?
Yeah, I don't know that you can improve on the song, but if you want to, be my guest. NATO foreign ministers have condemned the use of excessive force against pro-European protesters in the Ukraine after a meeting in Brussels. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry urged the Ukraine to listen to the voices of its people. Earlier, Prime Minister Mykola Azarov apologized in Parliament for the use of police force against protesters. Mass protests were sparked by the government's decision not to sign an association deal with the EU last week. Thousands demonstrated outside the Parliament building in Kiev on Tuesday, with protests in the city once again continuing into the evening. So the people were protesting the fact that the government didn't want to get into business with the European Union.
Now, I wonder what the government's reasoning was for that.
Generally, it's like everything. I mean, I don't want to say, but generally, it's like everything else. You know, they didn't get enough for the deal. They didn't get enough for what they were putting into the package. They don't feel they were getting enough out of the package. They're angling for a harder bargain, I guess.
Well, but they've got to communicate this to their people more effectively, or the people will, of course, redress grievances. And, of course, this is the American way. We have it in our Constitution, the freedom of the speech. Now, I don't know about the Ukraine. It's a recently freed republic, a former republic of the Soviet Union, of the Union of... Do you know what USSR stands for?
I do, yes.
All right. What about you, Margaret?
Yes, I believe I do. The Union of the... the United States.
No. Bud?
The USS what?
The USSR. Do you know what that stood for?
The United States
All right, Robert.
Wait, I'm not done yet. I still get to guess, don't I?
Go ahead.
Hurry up, bud.
The United Federate. Well, no.
If you were going to say United Federation of Planets,
I know. Did I?
You're always trying to be funny, though, you know?
He didn't say that.
I said United Federation, okay, but United...
All right, Robert, you go ahead.
No, I'm not done yet.
Yes, you are done. Robert?
I don't know. USA, I don't know.
I know what it is.
All right, you know, Phil?
Yes, I do.
All right, let me tell you what it is.
Wait, can I say it?
No, you can't say it. I'll do it. The United States of the Soviet Republics, or no, I'm sorry.
No, it isn't. It's the
No, hold on. The USSR stands for the United States of Socialist Republics.
Wrong.
Excuse me, I'm the one that asked if you knew what it was.
You're wrong, General. With all due respect, you're wrong.
No, I am not wrong.
Yes, you are, sir. You're wrong, and I can prove it to you. I've got a map. I've got an atlas from the 1980s that I can show you.
Well, brother, it better be a real Atlas and not one of these phony baloney deals you cook up to make your callers look like asswipes.
What? A fake Atlas? I don't even understand that. It stands for the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics.
Well, all right. Big wow, so I got...
Well, it is very different, General.
No, it's not. They're right there, see?
Yeah, there it is right there in a book that Phil said. Union of the Soviet Socialized... How come it's so long?
Because that's what it is. That's what it is. That was the name of it. Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. So you were saying about the Ukraine.
What I was saying about the Ukraine, I'm going to look into that. I don't believe you.
Okay, the Atlas is wrong and I'm wrong, so you go ahead and look into it.
That was one of the United States of Socialist Soviet Republics.
Which would make it the USSSR. That's fine.
You know, Phil, you really are kind of a smartass. And you're bugging me. You're bugging me something severe.
General, I don't mean to bug you, but you just said the United States of Soviet Socialist Republics. That's three S's.
One, two, oh, okay, you're right.
Why can't we just go with the Union of Soviet...
Because I'm not willing, because I was in the military, I studied the grid, I had to be up on what the what war plan for Eurasia was. We've got various war plans, as you know. And we had a war plan for Eurasia, which involved SAC bombers, and I had to study that grid something fierce. And every day I looked at the United States of the Soviet Socialized of the God...
Take it easy, will you?
Well, you just...
Well, General, I have to say, I don't know what kind of hands our country was in. If we've got a man there looking at the SAC bomber grid every day, and you're looking at the United States... Of the whatever he said.
It's the Union of the... Oh, man.
Good thing that you didn't run things.
What, are you looking at me?
Yeah, you sound like you're nuts, too.
You guys can say what you want, and I may be nuts. I might be out of my mind. I would be willing to grant you all of that. All of that. But I'm telling you right now, there's one thing I'm not nuts about, and that's the name of the damn country was the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. That was the name of it. I could be crazy about everything else. That was the name of that country before it broke apart into its various pieces. So today we deal with Russia, which was the major main player in that that confederation, if you will. The Ukraine was another. Georgia was another. Latvia, Lithuania. These were all republics, all these countries that we hear about now. Kazakhstan. These were all part of the USSR. And we didn't hear about these countries because they were under the control of Moscow. And they were, yes, they were republics in name only, but they were completely tied to Moscow, even tighter than the United States, than the states of the U.S. The states have some autonomy. We have some independent movement when it comes to the 50 states here in the U.S. For instance, there's state income taxes, which we don't share with other states. There can be city taxes. Laws are different, so on and so forth. But in the USSR, man, no. Only to serve Moscow. All right.
What's that?
That's Moscow in...
It's Moscow in Russia talk, or what? Or Russian, I should say.
Right. All right, coming back here on the World... I guess that's about all we need to know about that, isn't it, Margaret, or...
Well, I don't know, Phil. You're talking about the Ukraine. That's a big, big topic.
Yeah, I don't really know, other than the fact that they wish that they were in the U... in the what?
They wish they were in the USS... Did you say the USSR?
No, in the Economic Union.
And what is this gay music?
This is a little... What is this, Phil?
The Moody Blues.
The what? You might... Why don't we go ahead and put on some tights and listen to this?
Yeah, okay. And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Oh, I love... This is Losing My Religion. This is another one, right? Frank, if you're listening.
All right, so you're talking about songs you're doing on your live gigs, right?
Yes, and this past weekend, I got so disgusted, really... Frank knows that I don't like where he's been booking me. He's been booking me in some toilets.
Robert, don't hit the microphone.
You're always doing that.
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. Every time you want to make a point, man, you bang this microphone. I got to... Look at this. Dude, you can't... You see this? It's... Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. What I want to say was that Frank booking Margaret into these... Why do you let him do that?
Because he's my husband. He's booking me. And then I said to him, I don't want to be booked into these garbage cans. He put me in a place called what was it called? Not the crab locker. It was Slim Jenkins and the Crab something in Cerritos. And we played. Well, I was so disgusted, I put together a set. We did Where's the Bathroom, Nice Dip.
Where's the Bathroom?
Yeah, these were all songs that were submitted, and I put together a set list. I was trying to send a message to Frank and to this club owner.
And the message, what do you mean you're trying to send a message?
Are you listening to me?
I'm listening, Margaret.
All right, I took songs that had been submitted to me. I put them together so that the titles sent a message. So if you look, I don't know which ones we did, but if you look on my fan page on Facebook, we did something like, I itch down there, what's in the dip, where's the bathroom, I think it's inflamed. Now, these are all song titles.
From who?
These are people that submitted them.
Yeah, these people submitted them to her.
There was a song called It's Inflamed?
Yes. Now, these were all sent to me at odd times, and of course I didn't want to do any of them, but I decided I can use these songs. I put them together in a set list on Friday night, and I'm at the microphone saying, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to start out with It's Itching Down There, and thank you. Now it's time for What's in This Dip? And I said it like that. I was emphasizing it, hoping and praying to, and again, I'm not a religious person, Phil, but I was hoping and praying to this God that they call Jesus, thinking maybe, just maybe he exists. Please, Jesus, let Frank hear the message.
Well, what's the message?
Well, what do you think the message is, Phil, when I say I'm itching, it's inflamed, where's the bathroom?
Yeah, the place is infected with crabs.
Thank you.
Well, why couldn't you just say it to him?
Because he... Oh, God, you're stupid. I love you, Phil, but you're really stupid. You know?
Phil, you don't... Haven't you been listening? She's been talking to this idiot that she's married to for weeks, and he doesn't get it. This is the idiot that gets genders confused.
I know Frank Gray. I know him very well. I know he gets genders confused, but I've never known him not to understand it when someone says to him, you're booking me into a toilet.
No, Frank understands that. He doesn't care. I'm trying to get him to care. To care. I'm trying to get the man to care. So I said, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the crab pit. You know, I emphasize crab. This first one is called, Oh My God, It Itches Down.
Even you're laughing.
Well, it is a little ridiculous.
All right, so, and you're saying Frank didn't get it.
I'm sorry?
You're saying that Frank didn't understand.
No, he did not get the message.
Well, I feel for you. You know, I'm telling you, and maybe Frank's mental condition is beginning to deteriorate. You know, Frank was with me on the, he came with me down there. You did too, to the Acme.
Well, I didn't want to, but what is with you and the general?
Yeah, Phil, I just heard you go, Acme. So you've got the same problem.
Well, it's drying out. It is a little dry. It's very windy tonight.
Sure, that's the problem.
Yeah. So you and Frank were with me at Acme Comedy Theater for the podcast-a-thon, and Frank at that time was just as confused about his gender confusion. He didn't even know what it was Jimmy was talking about or that I was talking about. He just went off and started talking. The audience was laughing its ass off, and Frank didn't notice.
Well, that's what I didn't like, and I'm really upset that you put him on mic, because you made him look foolish, Phil.
Margaret, he wanted to talk on the air.
I don't care.
Well, you were there. You could have stopped it.
I'm going to stop Frank Gray, one of the top entertainment attorneys in Los Angeles. I'm going to step in and say, no, Frank, you can't talk. He would slap me across... He'd slap my bridge loose. And I don't usually admit to that. And you know what? I deserve it.
Oh, my. I can't believe what you just said.
Mr. Gray, you talk about you're going to get belted?
You think you deserve being slapped?
Yes. If I would have said to Frank, well, go ahead, Frank. Go on, Mike, and let them laugh like hyenas at what a moron you are. and he backhands me until the bridge flies.
I didn't know you had a bridge.
Yes, my front teeth are false. They're false. That was from, you know, I've been in fist fights. I was in a lot of fist fights as a girl.
I knew that. I didn't know you got your teeth knocked out.
Yeah, I got my teeth knocked out by a girl named Angela. And this is my senior year in high school in a parking lot. And it was right after the basketball game. It was a girls' basketball game. We were playing for the Pennsylvania State Championship against Chaminade Girls.
Against who?
Against Chaminade Girls, the Catholic high school. And we beat them, and we beat them pretty good. We put, I think we put up 93 points on them. I put in 20 points, and I had 11 rebounds. I think I had a very good game. But we're leaving the locker room, and up comes this Angela from Chaminade. She was their center. She didn't like me for whatever reason. I think we got into it on the court a little bit. And I said, well, so what are you going to do about it? I said, you know, you may be big. I said, but you look about as dumb as an ox. I smart-mouthed her. She took a swing, and she connected. But that was the last punch she connected with, because then I had her on the ground, and if they hadn't pulled me off of her...
What?
I probably would have killed her.
Margaret, what? You know, you're the funniest person. You're a woman, you know, and I know this about her, and I don't mean to talk about you like you're not here, but General looks very shocked.
Well, what? You're talking about you almost beat a woman to death?
Yes. Yes, I did. They if they hadn't pulled me off of that girl, I probably would have killed her.
But she knocked your teeth out.
She got in a punch, yes.
I mean, you're a woman of style and fashion, and you go to these parties, and you go to charity fundraisers, and you're married to Frank, and you keep a beautiful home, and you know these celebrities, and no one would ever think that you come from this background of fist fights, and you and this Bobby Dooley...
Well, that's a whole other... That woman begs for it. Every time I talk to her, she's a walking... It's like she's got a sign that says, please, Margaret, beat me up today. That's what...
Yeah, but all of that aside, the fact that you come from this alley-fighting background, what did your father and mother think of this?
Oh, they hated it. They wanted to put me in a convent. Are you kidding?
When you were in high school?
Oh, yes. I said, no. I said, you put me in a convent, you'll never see me again. I said, that is... a promise from me to you. And that's where I learned to say to my father, essentially, I said, I don't care who did it, he got it. And my father said, well, if you're going to do it right. And when I get it, you get it. And he started quoting Dog Day Afternoon, those things. What are you looking all like I'm nuts for?
Because you sound nuts. You sound nuts.
Yeah, it's scary, the stuff you say.
Oh, is it scary? Well, I'm sorry to scare you, but that's how it is in my world. So you guys know that when I say something, I'm not screwing around.
Well, Margaret, I don't doubt you at all. I don't think the threat of violence is necessary. You're among friends here.
No, I know that.
Yeah, but I mean, you're always getting up into people's faces, and you beat Bud up already.
Yeah, you kicked me and everything. I sue you for that.
Go right ahead, Bud. My husband's a lawyer.
Well, Margaret, you know, at some point you can't do that because there is such a thing as civil litigation. People are going to sue you, and they're going to win. And
well, you know what? The first person to sue me and win, good on them. Kudos. But until then, we're on my time.
We're on my time. One of my favorite lines from Your Friends and Neighbors.
What is that? What is the movie?
Your Friends and Neighbors.
It's a great movie. Neil LaBute. Great director. And I think it's Jason Patrick, isn't it?
Yeah, Jason Patrick utters the line. It's one of the greatest lines in the history of the world. He says, when we die and we find out there's that God thing out there, okay. But until then, we're on my time. I don't know. And Jason Patrick plays this complete psychopath. He's got no empathy for anyone. And he's a doctor, right?
Well, but what's very odd about him is he's a doctor. He's very good friends with the other two.
Yeah, the other two actors are Aaron Eckhart, played by Aaron Eckhart, and...
Ben Stiller.
Yeah, Ben Stiller. And they're all three of them are very tight friends. And they play, you know, tennis and racquetball. They hang with each other. They even wind up having sex with each other's wives, I think. And Jason Patrick, at the end, winds up with Aaron Eckhart's wife. But... you know, Eckhart is, he plays, all three of these guys are messed up. Aaron Eckhart has a hard time. He's sexually dysfunctional. He can't even get aroused when he's on one of those 1-800 sex lines. That doesn't work there. Then you have the problem with Ben Stiller, who is dysfunctional with just that one woman.
Yes, Aaron Eckhart's wife.
Right, Aaron Eckhart's wife. The one guy that can have sex with her, who's all wrong for her, but she winds up leaving her husband for him, is the Jason Patrick guy. And he's just about as goofy as they get. And this cat is nuts, man. With one scene, he's screaming and yelling at this girl because she's had her period on his something-something thread count sheets, you know?
Yes, he's all upset with her that she bled on his satin sheets or something. And he says, I'm going to go downstairs and have a beer, and when I come back, I want you out of here.
Yeah, he says, I think I'll go downstairs for a beer and some 409. So in other words, this guy is a complete psycho because the girl bled on his expensive sheets, and now he's got to go downstairs for a beer and some 409, and he wants her to clear out. I mean, he's the most odious individual you've ever met. You know, for 2 cents, you want to just drop this guy out of a window. But there he is at the end of this movie. He's the guy that winds up with the woman that nobody else can be sexually functional with. It's a crazy movie. All right, we'll be back with our final segment here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Head on over to our website and check out our special Christmas promotion. For an order in our shop of $75 or more, you get two free shot glasses. And if you are a BSP member, whether a new one or a returning one, you also get a free CD download with an order of $75 or more from the online store at philhenryshow.com. Wow, that's some really great guitar playing, Not. Anyway, welcome back, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Who in the hell?
That's an old band called Ram Jam. And for some reason, that was charting over on iTunes. Look at that and go, wow, who's buying Ram Jam, you know? And so we went ahead and picked that up for some bumper music.
That's all it's good for.
Don't be disrespectful.
Now, you're looking at what you ate today.
Yeah, I'm looking at what I ate today. Dean Wheeler is going to join us from the Northern California Holistic Center to give us just some background, I guess, on good nutrition. I've been consulting with Dean. And I know that right now, Dean, you are in the midst of a... I don't know if you guys are doing your yoga session.
Well, I feel like I'm sorry. Hold on for just a minute. Well, you're listening right now, Phil. You're listening to Paul Flatt. Paul is a member of the Northern California Holistic Center tribal troupe, and he's playing right now. He's just playing what we call a meditation a passage, and what we're doing is there's probably about 50 of us engaging in prana meditation, which is a yogic a meditation. And so I'm speaking to you right now. I'm just trying to keep my voice down. So how were you doing today, Phil?
All right.
If you could just keep your voice down.
I'm on the other end of a phone.
I know that.
Okay. How is it that you can hear?
Just got to be quiet.
How is he?
Who's that? You got to be quiet.
Dean, no one can hear me. I'm on your phone.
Well, I can hear you. And...
I know, but no one else can hear because you've got it up against your ear.
So what were you doing today?
I was on my diet, and I wanted to give you the rundown of what I had.
All right.
Because I'm doing, as you guys know, 2,000 calories a day, and that's what I maintain. You know, I try to maintain the calories, that intake, so that I can lose probably about 5 pounds a week. I got as high as 235 pounds, and I'm down to 230 after a week.
So that's very good, and that holding at that caloric level... allows you to burn up those calories. So that's very good, Phil. That's 5 pounds a week, and I don't think you would slow down for maybe 4 or 5 weeks. So I think you're going to probably be down to your target weight, by the middle of January. Where do you want to be?
In the middle of January, I want to be at 210.
I think you'll be close. I think you'll be close.
All right, so anyway, this morning, this morning I started out the day I had... two bags of popcorn.
Was it the light popcorn?
Yeah, well, that was like when I got off the air last night. or I mean, when I got home last night from drunk history.
So what did you drink?
I drank a bottle of tequila.
Well, that's 90 calories a shot.
Yeah, I would say I had probably five. You mean you talk about yesterday?
You didn't drink that today?
No, I did not drink that today.
Oh, all right.
So I had two bags of that 100-calorie popcorn. That's 200 calories. I had one of those espresso things that I was just talking about. That's 70 calories. I had four pieces of 40-calorie...
Hold on for just a minute, Phil. Na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na-na-na. Go ahead.
Okay. Are we interrupting what you're doing?
Well, no. That was great, Paul. Can we do it one more time? And I want to see if everyone can get even deeper. Get even deeper down into the meditative samadhi, because what we're looking to do... Hold on, Phil, okay? Okay, Phil?
Yeah, fine.
What we're looking to do, everyone, I'm on the air with Phil Hendry on a radio show, and I'll be done in a moment. But what we're looking to do, everyone, is we want to get deep into the samadhi subconscious thing. I don't know what it's called, but it's just we want to get away from where we are, and we want to go somewhere else. Does anyone... Raise your hand if you felt... Did anyone feel... Were you leaving your body? Did anyone leave their body? Okay, one, two, three. You left your body? What's that? No. Did you see yourself hovering over your body? Who saw yourselves hovering over your body? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. That many, huh? And you're not kidding. All right. Well, then you're... So you want to leave your body and you want to see... You want to be looking down... What is that, John? You're looking down. You are bald. You didn't know that you're losing your hair? If you were looking down on a bald spot, that's you? Yeah. All right. So, Paul, give me one more passage, and let me get back to Mr. Hendry. One. La, 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 la. Okay, Phil. I'm sorry.
So that's your meditation class, huh?
Yes, it is. You should join us.
Now, who is this guy that was looking down on his own bald head?
Well, this is not anything to make a joke out of, Phil.
I'm not. I heard what you were saying.
No, but I can hear you building up to a joke, and I'm not. That's not what this is about. That's not what I'm about. I'm not about that.
I understand. You said who left their body.
Who left their body, and this man did. He said, I was looking down on someone with a bald head, and I said, did you know you're losing your hair? He said, no. I said, well, you have a bald spot. And he said, oh, my God, that's me. And I said, little bit, you know.
Okay.
So anyway, so what else did you eat?
Then I had four hot dogs. I told you, the 45-calorie hot dogs. Two more rice cakes. I actually had five more rice cakes for 250 calories, 90 calories of salad, 120 calories of olive oil, and then I had tuna, a can of tuna, 270 calories, and then some mayo, some of that light mayo, 40 calories.
All right, so where are you at right now?
Well, all told, 1,860 calories.
Perfect. And you've come to the end of one day cycle. When you get off the air, you've come to the end of that day cycle, and you'll be able to start all over again. Hold on for just a second. Na, 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 na. Okay, that was fine, but, yeah, exactly, Jerry. I saw you reach down and you're scratching something, and that means you've broken the cycle of the meditation, you know, of going down into it, you know? Yeah, because you reached down and you were scratching your ass. I mean, excuse me for using that language. What's that, Mary? I saw you reaching down and scratching yourself between your legs, and I saw this guy reaching up and... Yeah, you were digging up right up in your crack of your... Never mind. All right, let's do it again. No, we have to do it again because you blew it. You blew it. You blew it, okay? Just live with it. Okay.
What kind of a meditation class is that?
What do you mean, what kind?
Well, a guy's reaching up the crack of the ass. You know, you're using a lot of language.
Well, I speak very directly to my people, and I want them to break the chain of connection between mind and body. And when a guy sticks his fingers right up the crack of his you know what, do you think he's off into outer space? I don't think so. Why are you quiet?
Well.
Forget it.
That was very disrespectful, Phil.
You kidding me? That guy... What if the guy looked down on himself as he's got his fingers wedged? What about that?
You know, I'm not going to answer that. I think you were very disrespectful, Phil. I think that in so many different ways you were I can't even count the number of ways that you were disrespectful. And I thank you for playing the music right when I'm making my point.
Margaret, you can say anything you want. I didn't mean to be disrespectful, but the fact of the matter is, Dean does talk in a very direct way, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks, guys. Phil Anderson.